In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus hid himself. All of our problems came out of hiding and became evident for us as Catholics during the time of John the 23rd, first of the series of modernist popes. And since modernism is the synthesis, St. Pius X says, of all heresies, he was no pope at all, but an anti-pope, John the 23rd. In the modern church, they are allowed to use his missal for a form of the Latin Mass, but we refuse it. I remember Archbishop Lefebvre telling us of a conversation he had with John the 23rd, after he was supposedly elected, in which he admitted that he had been investigated by the Vatican under suspicion of modernism. There was a great dossier of evidence against him. He was, in all probability, at the very least, a Rosicrucian, and certainly was a fellow traveler with the Freemasons. His given name was Giovanni Roncalli. He was elected in 1958 and took the name of an early anti-pope, John the 23rd. Maybe to let those who are in the know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, realize what was really going on now in Rome. But I mention him because today's saint suffered at the hands of John the 23rd, the original anti-pope. Now we're talking the early 15th century. Back then, you didn't just have theological disputes. Back then, anti-popes had armies. Imagine if they sent an army into Westchester. There are some people I think who would certainly like to do so. But imagine how we would suffer then. First of all, because of the schism in the church, there was a civil war. And this led to all sorts of unrest and problems, and finally to famine and to plague. In the meantime, Ladislaus, king of Naples, who was the ally of the antipope, invades at his orders the Eternal City, and our saint, her husband, stood up for the true pope, and because of that, he was forced off into exile. Their home was destroyed, their fields laid waste, all of their possessions pillaged and burned. She saw her own brother-in-law imprisoned and her nephew held hostage. And the stricken of the plague lay dead in the streets of Rome, and there was no one to bury them. And we think we've had a rough winter. Imagine St. Francis of Rome. She is the patron saint, by the way, of motorists, because after her daughter died, an angel appeared to her, and she could see her angel all of the time, and he gave out a light. So Pius XII, the last true pope, made St. Francis of Rome patroness, especially of nighttime drivers, because she had no difficulty seeing at night. The light of an angel. There she was with her sister-in-law and her two children holed up in one corner of the castle, the family castle, all that was left, ruins. But still she went out every day to beg food for those who were less fortunate, as they say, than herself. And she got the traditional slammed door in the face and many an insult which never put her off. Father Butler, Father Alban Butler, says of her, her soul remained calm amidst all these storms, and all she would do is say with Job in the Old Testament, Dominus Dat, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. She would say, I rejoice in these losses because they are God's will. For whatever he sends, I will continually bless and praise his name. Now, surely, we would have pardoned our saint had she felt and given in a little to to the darkness of her losses, Jesus hid himself. Today's gospel ends with that terrible line. And sometimes you and I are tempted surely to think, he's hidden himself from me. Where is God? But no, not even when her daughter died in a different pestilence some 3 years later, St. Francis' only response was to turn what she had left of a house into a hospital. And God's response was to give her the miraculous gift of healing. Healing. How on earth could ever our feelings be so healed that we would be healthy and holy? So that far from thinking these dark thoughts that Jesus is hiding himself from us, we should be rather continually surprised and even overcome by a sense of joy. I have a story for you. Once upon a time, there was a great theologian of the church, this is probably Middle Ages, I think, who prayed for 8 years straight for someone to teach him the way of truth. One day he was devoutly repeating this prayer at home when he heard a voice, "Go to church and you shall find him." As he climbed up the many steps to the church, there was a beggar there, barely clothed in his rags and covered with sores. The priest was moved with genuine compassion, and as he reached for some money, he greeted him kindly, and he said, "God give you a good day, my friend." And the beggar looked up at him, and he said, "I've never had a bad one." "Well, God give you good fortune." "Oh, I have never experienced misfortune." Thought the priest. "No bad days, beggar? No misfortune?" Loaded as he was with woes and miseries. "Oh, I'll tell you," said the beggar, idly scratching one of his sores. "I have cast myself on God's will. What he wants, I want. So that when hunger or thirst or sickness or cold come calling, I just thank God. And I take it all, the pleasant and the unpleasant, from his hands. And with great gladness. After all, God caused it. And he only does what is best. That I believe." "Who are you?" asked the priest in admiration. "I am a king," said the beggar, lifting himself up. "Where's your kingdom?" "In my soul. I rule over my feelings, my likes, my dislikes, and all of the rest. I have conquered them. They obey me. They are my subjects." "Wherever did you learn this?" "Three things," the beggar said, "Father, by recollection and by meditation and by union with God. I never had peace before, but now I never lack peace." "One last question," posed the theologian. "Where did you find God?" "Where I left affection for all other things." Does Jesus seem to hide himself from you sometimes. Would you like to find him again today? Realize this. He is revealing himself to you, our glorious King, and at the same time he is showing you your own kingdom and pointing the way by whatever it is, pleasure or pain, he sends your way. He is pointing the way to perpetual peace, which no man and no event may take from you. One of my favorite prayers, which is indulgenced with 500 days, is this. May the most just, the most high, and the most lovable will of God be in all things done, praised, and evermore exalted. I have not yet lived this prayer, but when I do, I will be a king. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.